Hi, how can I help you?
Hey.
Hi. We are missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ.
I see that.
And we are teaching a message about Jesus Christ today.
What message is that?
About Jesus Christ that we have today, how He's bringing His gospel back.
And who is Jesus Christ?
The Son of God.
Is He fully God and fully man and without sin, as the Bible teaches? Is that what you believe?
Yeah.
That He is fully God and fully man, not a created being. That's not what the Mormon doctrine teaches. Mormon doctrine teaches that Jesus is a created being. Yeah, He's not, though.
Anything that we can do for you?
Well, my hope for you would be that you would come to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is fully God and fully man and without sin, who lived the perfect life we cannot live, and that you would receive salvation by the grace of God alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone.
Uh-huh.
Because good works can't save us. Uh-huh. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you agree? Do you disagree?
No, that is fine.
No, that's fine.
No.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm a little confused then, because most of the Mormon young men I've talked to would not agree with what I just said.
That he is God. That he is God?
Yes. Fully God, fully man, without sin. Yes, He's not a created being, but God in the flesh.
All right. That's fine.
That's fine?
Well, we just believe, like, God and Jesus Christ are two different people.
Right, yeah. That's
what we believe.
That's contrary to what the Bible teaches. Yeah. So, what hope would you give for me, then, for eternal life? What must I do to be saved?
Well, you already have your own belief.
What if I'm wrong?
Faith in Jesus Christ, repentance, baptism, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost.
So baptism is required for my salvation?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus never baptized anybody. Nor did He ever call for anyone to be baptized.
Why would baptism be required?
He
baptized even His disciple. He baptized.
No, He didn't. If you look in the Word of God, it says that Jesus was in the river baptizing, but not actually Him baptizing, His disciples were baptizing. Yeah.
He Himself was baptized, so.
Right, but Jesus didn't need to be baptized because He was sinless and He was God in the flesh. Jesus didn't need salvation.
He was an example for us.
Yeah.
He made an example. He was inviting everyone to be baptized.
But the thief on the cross was not baptized, yet the Lord promised him He would be with Him in paradise.
Because He's got to believe.
Right, salvation is by grace through faith, apart from works.
Probably at His time He didn't, I'm on the cross, I can be baptized right now, but He didn't believe.
So there are exceptions.
Yeah, well, I don't know if He are an exception. I'm not God.
Well, the Word of God makes it clear that it's by grace we're saved through faith.
Yes.
Not after all we can do, as 2 Nephi teaches, but as according to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians. It's by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not as a result of works,
Are you going to church here?
Yes, I attend Faith Community Church here in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So if I had only 3 minutes to live, and I didn't know Christ, what hope could you give me?
You didn't know Christ?
I didn't know Christ. I only have 3 minutes to live. And you knew that. You could give me no hope.
Well, you can have hope if you start to believe. You just have to believe in Jesus Christ. Because God knew that you didn't have the opportunity to listen to the gospel. If He knows when it's the right time that you have to listen to the gospel.
So then I wouldn't need to be baptized. I wouldn't need to repent of all my sin. All I would have to do would be to believe in the last few minutes.
Yeah, only you believe. You repent of your sin. You pray to know that you can, that you have to repent.
Yeah, but in this, life afterwards, is what we're trying to get at. It's like if you, had no idea who Jesus Christ was, you'd never even heard His name, and we showed up at your door and you had 3 minutes left, and we introduced you to Him, and you believed in Him, And so, and then you died. We, you know, we would believe, you know, in the world to come.
That would be in the celestial kingdom.
Well, or, but, you know, in the spirit world after we, you know, if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
You know, is that would be a place where you would be learning and being taught the gospel and being, you know, yeah. whether to accept it or not.
Yeah. The Bible says, though, that it's appointed once for a person to die, and after that, the judgment. Yeah. Hebrews 9:29. The Bible doesn't speak of opportunities after I die to learn more. I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to give an account for my life. He's going to judge me according to the perfect moral standard of His law.
Yeah,
if I'd ever lied or stolen, taken His name in vain, looked with lust, He'll find me guilty of breaking His law. And because He's good, He must punish sin.
Yeah.
And the punishment God has required for sin is eternity in hell. Not another chance to make up for what I didn't do in this life.
You know, it's also a very hard question to answer because we don't know for sure.
We don't know what for sure.
Like, it's so like you're saying, you know, because we're not God, we don't make His decisions for you.
No, we can know for sure. In fact, the Apostle John wrote, "These things I have written to you so that you may know that you have eternal life." We can know these things. The Word of God makes it very clear. We can know for certain.
Yeah.
We can. But it is only for those who turn from their sin and by faith alone receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Not the spirit brother of Lucifer, but Jesus Christ, God in the flesh.
Yeah.
You're agreeing with me, but that's not what you want to search.
Unless I'm wrong. We are not here to make like a religion discussion or an argument with you.
That's why are you here? I mean, no disrespect, but if you're not here to proselytize me,
we are here to just to share a message with people about Jesus Christ.
And the Word of God says that if anyone brings to you a gospel contrary to the gospel that I bring to you, let him be accursed.
If you're bringing to anybody
a gospel other than the gospel taught in Scripture, the Word of God, not the Book of Mormon, not the Pearl of Great Price, not the Doctrine of Covenants, but the Word of God, then the message you're bringing to people is accursed.
You have like a lot of knowledge about, for sure, you studied like Mormon before.
Have I studied?
Yeah.
Some, but I spend some time speaking to Mormons.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's important to me that I share the gospel with everybody. And my concern for you young men is that you're believing a different gospel. I mean, are you not required to repent and then not do that which you repented of again?
Yeah.
Have you ever told a lie?
Of course I have. Yeah.
Have you lied since you repented of telling that lie?
But that's our imperfectness and something we're striving to work for. You know?
The Word of God says, stop striving and know that I am God.
Yeah, and that's something.
Because our good works can't help us. Yeah. But 2 Nephi says that we are saved by grace after all we can do. When do you get to the point when you've done all that you can do?
It's a point where God will know. And you know yourself, like if you're trying your hardest. You can't lie to yourself.
Right, but trying my hardest won't save me. Salvation's by grace.
Yeah.
If I could try my hardest to get to heaven, then there would be no need for God to come and die as a propitiation for my sins. We're never going to be perfect, but yet God's standard is perfection.
Yeah.
Jesus said you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Yeah.
But none of us can live up to that standard. None of us can live sinless lives. That's why we need Christ. Doing all that we can do will never save us. It only makes us self-righteous before God, and no self-righteous person will be in His presence. And the Bible says there's only one God. But Mormon doctrine teaches there are many. It's polytheism, not monotheism, because there is a God who reigns somewhere near the star of Kolob. That God was created, was the spirit child of another God, who was the spirit child of another God. And more, and please correct me if any time I speak the wrong thing about your doctrine. I mean, you obviously would know it better than I would. Mm-hmm. But Mormons believe that we were all spirit babies, that we came here to Earth, that we became human beings, and that, at least for the Mormon men, you can attain that level of being God of your own world. So when the Mormons say that Jesus is the God of this world, they do not mean that he is the one true God. They mean he's just the God of this world. And that's polytheistic. And that's actually blasphemous in the eyes of God. Because the Word of God says, you will have no other gods before me, nor will you create for yourself any graven image, which not only includes carving something out of wood and metal, but also creating a god in our imagination to suit ourselves. And anyone who thinks that they can somehow attain that status, as Joseph Smith believed, as God once was, we can become, or words to that effect. Okay. There is only one God. We can't become God. And to think otherwise is to blaspheme him by trying to usurp his throne. I know you young men are sincere.
Yeah.
And you're very respectful and you're very nice. Yeah. I have no doubt that you wholeheartedly believe what you believe. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it doesn't matter what we believe. What matters is whether or not what we believe is true. And so, gentlemen, you need to examine these things more closely, because what you're believing is contrary to what the Word of God teaches, and I'm concerned for your souls.
So, I don't want to like disrespect, but thank you for the thing that was good, but I'm coming like very, very far away country.
Which country are you from?
Dominican Republic.
Okay.
And I don't want to come here from there to tell a lie to the people.
I believe you.
Never.
I believe you.
Our country, we can't say lies. If you say lie, you like deny your family and everything. And I'm going to
come I believe there your sincerity.
To say a lie to the people.
I believe your sincerity.
I'm here because I'm studying what I study. And you probably have more knowledge than me in the Bible or the Mormon. But I know the reason I came here is true. Everything that the gospel brings to me is happening. Happiness to me and my family.
That's the reason God has not promised us happiness.
I want to share with the other people happiness.
But God has not promised us happiness. Jesus promised us persecution, tribulation, and sorrow. Remember, they killed him. Mm-hmm. Jesus has not promised us anything better than what he received. In fact, he promised that if you follow Christ, you will be persecuted. Jesus never promised anyone happiness.
Well, he made me happy.
Well, what you're believing is making you happy.
Yeah. I know the gospel brings happiness to our families.
But the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died on the cross and rose again and shed his innocent blood for the remission of sins. And when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished. There is nothing you young men can do, nothing I can do to add to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross." And when we try to, add our good works, when we try to add our religion, our missionary efforts, when we try to add anything to what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, we quite literally trample under our feet the blood that was shed for sinners like us. And again, I don't question your sincerity. I don't for a second think you are intentionally trying to lie to me about something. I don't believe you would come from the Dominican Republic to do that. But there are billions of people on planet Earth who are very sincere, yet sincerely wrong. In fact, Jesus said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform many miracles in your name?' But I will say to them on that day, 'Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, I never knew you.'" Many people will stand before God thinking that in some way their good works has helped them to attain a place
in God's kingdom, and he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. In fact, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 66:4 said, our good works are nothing but filthy rags to God. And in the Hebrew, the original language, that phrase, filthy works, literally meant, and God had Isaiah use the most disgusting term possible at the time, that term, filthy rags, literally means used menstrual cloth in the Hebrew text. That's how detestable our good works are before a holy and righteous and good God. If you young men were my neighbors, and you came to me and you knocked on the door and you said, hey Tony, we're going to mow your lawn. I don't have a lawn, I have a patio. But hey Tony, we're going to mow your lawn so that we could be your sons. I would look at you and I would smile and I would thank you for two things. One, you want to get me out of yard work, and two, you think enough about me that you want me to be your dad. But I'd have to be honest with you and say, guys, mowing my lawn is not going to make you my son. But if you were my sons and you came to me and you said, Dad, we're going to go out and mow the lawn, we're going to wash the car, we're going to do these things. No, we don't have any bad news to break to you. We don't want to raise our allowance. We don't want the keys to the car. We're going to do these things because we love you and we're so grateful that you're our dad. Would that make more sense? Yeah. No one's going to stand before God and say, God, we're ready to be welcomed into your kingdom. We're ready to be called your sons because we have mowed your lawn. We have done these good works. But those who are truly born again, those who have turned from their sin and put their trust in Christ alone for their salvation, they will want to do good works, not as a means of earning salvation, but because they're so grateful for the gift that God has graciously given them. In fact, the Word of God says in Romans 8 that those who know Him are literally adopted by Him. An adopted child can do nothing to earn their adoption. I have two adopted nieces and an adopted nephew. The nephew's from Uganda, the nieces are from Liberia. They were all adopted as very small children. There's nothing they could do to earn my sister and brother-in-law's love. There's nothing they could do to merit being adopted. They were helpless, orphan children. It was entirely by the love and grace and work of my in-laws, my sister and brother-in-law, that led to those three young children's adoption. And the same is true for those who are adopted by God. We can't earn that adoptive right. We can't merit that. We'll never be good enough for that. It is entirely by God's grace. And the Spirit of God testifies with my spirit that I am a child of God, not because I deserve it, not because I've earned it, not because I'm good, because I'm none of those things, but because of God's grace and mercy. The Word of God says that it is not by deeds that we have done in righteousness, but by God's mercy that any of us will receive eternal life. And that is a different gospel than what the Mormon Church teaches, because I have to work to earn salvation through the Mormon Church. And then I even have to work after I leave this life, if I have any hope to actually being with God the Father in what you refer to as the celestial kingdom. But Jesus said to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. See, my hope is not in me. My hope is in Christ and in Him alone. I have a future hope. I have an eternal hope that's guarded for me in heaven, as is taught in 1 Peter chapter 1. Not because of my religion, not because of my goodness, because I have none. Romans 3 says that there is none who is good. No, not one. All have turned aside. Together we have become useless. There is none who seek after God because of our sinful nature, because we were born sinners. It's only by God's grace that we can be saved. And that's my hope for you, young men.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, you too.
You too. Have a good night.
Yeah, thank you.